Mary, Ben, I don't know if you've met each other before or even if you know each other, so.
Greetings. What do you do?
nice to meet you too. Now I'm Mary Cagle. I draw the trenches and my own comic Kiwi Blitz, and I color Table Titans. I don't know how many of the things you've heard of, but thanks.
Sorry to say none of those, but I'm looking at the trenches right now.
it's done by the Penny Arcade guys.
But you didn't always draw the trenches, did you?
Scott used to draw it. I took over October last year. Scott
Alrighty.
Kurtz, I mean.
Well,
yeah, I am familiar with Scott Kurtz.
Yes, Ben,
Well, I don't
you
know. This is the guy that doesn't know what Penny Arcade guys get up to, so.
Ben is, I guess we're all sort of like, we have a unique tastes that don't entirely overlap. And it, like, I don't even keep up with Penny Arcade guys really, because the Penny Arcade wasn't really my bag, you know. It's, I'm not really a gamer anymore, so.
Yeah.
Penny Arcade really isn't a gamer comic anymore.
Well,
No,
I
yeah, I
wouldn't
really
know.
enjoy just like the slice of life aspects of it.
It's not really a slice of life comic anymore either. It's just.
Whatever they want to talk about, that's
Yeah.
what it's going to be.
It's got its followers. Can't really argue with that.
Oh, I'm not arguing it has followers. I'm just saying it's not really slice of life. It's not really gamer. It's just whatever those two guys want to draw today.
Well, I think
And
they've earned
I
that.
like
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just telling you what it is.
it. Just dropping some knowledge on
It's so
you.
defensive, Ben.
You're listening to the Webcomic Beacon at webcomicbeacon.com.
Welcome to another edition of the Webcomic Beacon Presents. Oh shit, that's the wrong show. This is Webcomic Beacon at webcomicbeacon.com. And we're going to be talking about Strip Search. In as if you haven't heard of that already, we're going to talk about the beginning of Strip Search, the Penny Arcade comic artist reality TV show. And with us,
Web
we
show.
web show, web series.
It's not on TV.
It's not on TV. And as you've heard already, Ben Carver is once again back from Animation Aficionados. Welcome back.
He keeps on inviting me back, and I don't know why.
I'm trying to figure that out still. And coming back for a second appearance is Mary Cagle from Kiwi Blitz, as well as a couple of other web projects that she is working on as well. Please welcome back Mary Cagle.
Greetings.
What were the other two projects that you were working on? I totally.
I draw the trenches for the Penny Arcade guys, and I color Scott Kurtz's new comic Table Titans.
Table Titans. How old is that one? I haven't heard of that one yet.
It's just a few months. It's actually an officially licensed Wizards of the Coast D&D comic.
Oh, now I think I
And
heard something
pretty
about
great.
that. Okay, so that was the end result of something that I heard of a while ago. And so, but we're going to be talking about Strip Search. And Mary, didn't you actually apply to be on that?
I did. I was one of the last people to get knocked off before the show actually became a thing.
So, well, so we have a little bit of perspective from that angle as well, but we're going to take a look back at how Strip Search came to be. Now, I thought it might have been a Kickstarter, but I didn't quite remember. Mary, you said that it was actually a stretch goal from the general Penny Arcade No Ads Kickstarter, which we won't talk about that in particular, but it was
But
a.
yeah, that's the basic idea.
And so what was since you were sort of like involved with that, so what was the sort of application process that you had to go through?
I think it was 4 rounds before they had the final people, or three. At first, it was just a general questionnaire thing, asking to see your portfolio and all of that. And then there was a more specific one where you had to like write a haiku and fill in a bunch of panels of a blank comic with your own joke and stuff like that. And then there was a video round where you had to tell a little about yourself and, show that you weren't going to be the worst person ever on camera.
Was any of this done publicly? Because I hadn't really followed Strip Search much until much later, because I end up editing a lot of audio and video, so watching extra audio or video doesn't really work for me.
It wasn't, like, there were no NDAs or anything at that point, so people could absolutely share whatever the heck they were doing for their applications, but mm-hmm. it wasn't something that Penny Arcade themselves was sharing around.
Oh, okay. And let's see here. So you were in part of the last round of people to get dismissed, but you actually ended up getting work anyway, which was pretty
like,
amazing.
Yeah, I was... Yeah, it was like the final round, and I had just found out a few days earlier that I was not going to be on the show. And then all of a sudden, apparently Mike of Penny Arcade came up to Scott, and he was like, hey, we need someone to draw the trenches, right? Mary didn't get on Strip Search, right? So, like, why don't we give her a shot? So that worked out fine for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty amazing. And So, Ben, what were your particular opinions or thoughts as Stretch Shirts was being formed, this from the Kickstarter stretch goal to up until the first episode?
I was thinking it was going to be a lot more random than it actually became, because once it actually started, it was very... I'm not going to say bad, but it was very formula reality show. If I can say that, it wasn't because I was expecting those two. I was expecting Mike to make, because when Mike started the video in the first episode and said there are tons of booby traps, and then I thought that there would be some sort of weird thing that we wouldn't expect, like here's a bunch of dickerdoodles, and whoever can eat the most dickerdoodles in an hour wins a contest or something. And that,
would you have preferred that?
No, but that's what I expect. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I'm glad that that's not the case.
But
I don't know. I guess I could. I mean, I was wondering what your opinions were from before the show actually started.
Well, like I said, that was what I was thinking it was going to be. I thought it was going to be one of these things where they'll have contests like who can yell at the most ducks in a minute or something like that.
You expected not real, like, legitimate challenges for artists is what you were thinking.
Yes, I was thinking it was going to be like Big Brother or Joe Schmo, where they make you do these ridiculous things.
That would be awful. Hey, let's take a bunch of kids with the dreams and then make them do stupid bullshit and then say goodbye.
I actually thought it was because, like, I had an overnight job and I would be able to watch some TV during that time. And one of the things I was really getting, because it's like reality TV shows, it's always so vicious and vile and horrible. It's like I couldn't stand watching them because they're not reality shows. They're just convoluted game shows, really. But I liked Face Off, where you actually had all these like makeup artists competing against each other for, you know, contract or certain goals. But I love the way that the artists worked with each other. They actually helped and encouraged each other. There were no like vicious. There's no viciousness going on, at least in the large amount of episodes that I saw. And I was like, I was really hoping that Strip Search would have been something more like that, because I enjoyed watching that because it's also a creative experience. So I was really, really hoping it would be something closer to that than, like, say, people stuck on an island or where they have to stop being nice and being real or whatever. So
I would say it's been even better than that in that regard. Like, I think it's one of the most kind of genuine reality show experiences I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that, but like I said, I'm telling you what my early expectations were mm-hmm. before watching a single episode. I thought that this would be them doing these weird, cruel things to these to these aspiring artists, like an obstacle course with Vaseline coated ramps you have to run up and stuff like that. I really thought that that's what they would have been going for.
Actually, it would have been really fun if they did do an obstacle course, only with like getting from the hotel to the convention or like getting all your like con boxes to your table. Like they made that.
Right. Like they try to make that excuse about it. Like, look, this is what it's going to be like. This is a reasonable facsimile. It's fine.
And this is the elevator wait portion of the challenge. Are you going to do? Are you going to take the stairs?
We'll have this actor pretend to be your one rabid fan. You have to deal with him in public.
Actually, that kind of
happens.
That kind of might be useful. That kind of might be interesting, because the sort of point of it wasn't to find like the best comic artists, but like the whole package is what at least in the earlier episodes is what was continually brought up, because there are a lot of different aspects to being
to running a webcomic.
Well, not so much running a webcomic, but being you're marketing yourself. There's a lot of different angles to handle in order to be a professional full-time cartoonist. There's a lot more than just being able to draw or tell a story or writing.
Oh yeah,
and that certainly is true. But when the can we talk about the actual show itself now?
Yeah, let's get into the first episode when it first came out, and we had so it's finally here.
And when it started, I have to say I was actually pleasantly surprised by who some of these contestants were, because I wouldn't say I heard of all of them, but a couple of them I actually have heard their names before.
Mm-hmm.
And the one I actually really, really am rooting for now is actually Katie.
Yeah, oh, Katie's great.
Oh, Katie. Is Katie the one? I've only seen up to 15 episodes. So thus, and we're going to talk about the first half. We'll talk about the second half of the series and its
ending.
Wait,
so like what elimination are we going up to for the sake of spoilers, I suppose?
As far as the sake of spoilers, up to episode... Oh, crap. 12.
Episode, oh, crap. That is O-H space
C-R-A. That's every episode on this roller coaster ride.
Darn it. I did not see elimination number 5, but we can go up to elimination number 5, which would be episode 16.
Okay, wait,
16.
I need to see... Who versus who that was?
That was Amy versus Maki.
Okay, yeah, I got gotcha.
Monica had to pick the two. That's the thing. That's one thing that was really really interesting is that the winner of the challenge actually had to pick the two people to go into the elimination round.
That is a good spin, because usually it's whoever is the judge picks the two worst competitors to do that.
Right.
And that's not done this time. And I think that's nice. But at the same time, I'm getting like MasterChef flashbacks during the elimination where you have Mike and the other guy whose name I always forget.
Jerry.
Yeah. They're sitting there and they're talking back and forth like about this challenge. Like, what would you do during this challenge? Oh, I would do this and this. It reminds me of MasterChef when you have Gordon and Graham Elliott and the mean Italian guy doing the same back and forth, whispering about, I would do a very rustic dish with some roasted potatoes. And it's exactly like that. It's like,
well, it's like how much banter is there while other people are drawing? You know, they're trying to fill up the time with jokes or extra commentary. I don't really see a big deal with that.
I know, but I just see that parallel. It's hilarious to me, and I actually like it better during the later challenges where Mike is just fucking with their heads, like saying it's 10 minutes after the 50-minute mark.
Yeah, they start that almost right away.
Versus just the regular time calls. They start making them have to stop and do some math. Like, okay, I actually have this much.
You have 10 minutes to think about what you're going to do with the next 40 minutes.
Or one of the earlier ones, time to think about how you're going to be handling this challenge.
Yeah.
Just like, bastards.
I like that more than them doing this back and forth Gordon Ramsay-esque, what would you do during this challenge? Oh, I would do this and have the humor be like this. And it's like, well, it's better that they're not trying to do that anymore, because when they were doing that early on, it was very weird.
Well, I guess I didn't quite recall that as much as I, as in going through up till elimination number 5, they kept like poking each one of the eliminatees different questions about what they thought about why they're here, why they've been eliminated. They also somewhat made some of it a little bit jokes, and then they would also comment sort of like on their current progress, is like, don't you think you should be having drawn something by now? Or is like, you really think you're going to be all right with not doing colors? Like, sort of like kind of making you second guess
a
little bit.
That semi-formal nature of it.
Mm-hmm. You're going to
use
that.
Like, there is pressure,
what if I
but
told
they're not
going to
be
last...
stupid about it.
What if I told you the last guy got kicked off because he used that font?
What if I told you that he was not eliminated, but died and was sent to font hell?
Yes.
That was great.
And it's more of that. And the thing is this, it's good that those two are only on during the elimination because they are still super duper awkward on camera for a long period of time.
I thought they were in the first episode, which was weird, but I thought they were super cool in the later episodes. Well, I'm sure there was a lot of editing involved.
Have either of you seen Penny Arcade TV?
Yes. Oh, yeah. And they still are kind of awkward for long periods of time behind, you know, in front of the camera.
I think I maybe seen one episode. Are they more or less the same as they are, or do they feel like they're putting on more of a show or a shtick with Strip Search?
I really do think that Mike is doing a Gordon Ramsay-esque thing, at least at the beginning, and then he decided to drop it.
Hmm. Yeah, I think maybe it's because I do know what they're like from the show, but like anytime when they act like that, you can tell that it's a little tongue-in-cheek, you know? Like they're only half trying to convince you that that's them.
Yeah.
And then they'll just revert back to dicking around and being funny.
Yeah. And like the whole SS thing, that was great.
So your favorite thing about it, sir.
Yeah, turns out that you drew something anti-Semitic.
Oh, then when he was actually in the elimination round, is like, so what do you like about Nazis so much? Or what is the best thing you like about Hitler? And then there was like a pause. Efficiency.
Yeah, that was good.
just cut through that and cut everyone started laughing.
Yeah, buzzsaw through that tension there. I do like, at least through the first half of the sort of realness of everybody is like, at least through the first half, I don't see any, it's kind of like Face Off. Nobody's really trying to get rid of the competition. They're actually trying to eliminate the people that probably are not doing the best to stay in this competition, which is how it should be for these sorts of things. You're trying to find the best.
Actually, they noticed early on, if they put Katie against anybody in elimination, Katie's going to win. And one person actually stated, note to self, if you want to get rid of someone, put them against Katie in the elimination.
Yeah, though what's really interesting about that is they don't see, you know, like the second elimination where the guys were actually really disappointed with her comic. They just see, well, she came back. I guess she's some kind of crazy tour de force.
Yes.
Yeah, that was kind of a... I didn't agree with within the eliminations where they brought up the competition, and I didn't really like Katie's second elimination strip. I mean, it wasn't. It's. I get it. I do get it. But
is it?
I don't think. I don't think bringing that you're in the competition.
Yeah, it was
works.
The depression one.
I like that one.
I did too.
I liked it too.
And actually, well, the first elimination with the ping pong challenge. I mean, she nailed it, and the other guy did two panel talking heads, third panel explosion. What is this?
No, I did actually get that. It was
lazy.
It was. I think he tried to force the joke and didn't set it up. I mean, I saw what he was going for, but it just fell apart.
Actually, Mike called him out on saying you're doing what I did 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he said, including
his
mistakes.
Comic is it was kind of weirdly, I would say almost hubristic, like the idea that he's like, clearly this competition is going to be about me hanging out with the Penny Arcade guys playing ping pong.
Yes. And like I said, Mike called him out on it saying, hey, this looks like me from 5 years ago. And that guy should have been like, maybe I should rethink my strategy. But no, he's like, nope, Sally Forth.
Well, what is he going to do at that point? Learn to draw in a different way?
Yeah.
Do something else, because it was two talking heads and then an explosion.
Yeah.
One thing I thought was really interesting was the double elimination, which was like number four, I think. And it was like, because of like the elimination before that, they had a tough time picking a winner, and I don't remember if that was with Lexi in it.
Yeah, that was Lexi and Tavis.
Yeah, so they ended up sending one of them home, which was Lexi, and they didn't. And the shtick is that they destroy the printout of the digital comic that didn't work, that failed, which is really damn harsh. It's really kind of mean.
I love the one where one of the Penny Arcade's staff cuts out a frowny face in it.
My favorite is a later one, so I guess that's spoilers.
Yeah,
but
we'll bring you back on for the later.
But let's talk about the first elimination challenge, which actually kind of interested me because the first elimination challenge was design a T-shirt.
Yeah,
and honestly, to me, that was like oh, that was a softball to me. And then all these people are freaking out over it. It was kind of funny to me.
Yeah, it all depends on what their background is.
Yeah, like, that's true. I forget that most people didn't have a web design, a graphic designer background like me, where I actually worked at a screen printer for about a year, and I actually had to coat screens and shit. And it's like, you know, T-shirt design's like not a big deal to me. And
so you've seen a lot of good, a lot of bad, and you also know some of the best ways to get the most out of your screen print.
Yeah, actually a boss of mine at my current job plays a lot of tennis, and he said, hey Ben, can you do this I have an idea for a tennis t-shirt, can you do this for me? I did for him about 5 minutes on my Surface tablet. I bring it to me bring it with me everywhere, show it to him. He says, okay, great, send me the PDF and I'll have it printed. And he wore the shirt at a tennis tournament, and everyone's there like, wow, we're going to get that shirt. And the shirt basically is a green shirt with the stripes on it, the white stripes, and a tennis ball barely touching one of the stripes, and just the caption over it. If it's 90% out, it's 100% in.
I guess I don't get the reference, but okay.
I get it.
If it's touching the line, it's in. Doesn't matter if it's barely touching the line. If it's touching the line, it's in.
Okay.
Tennis.
Yeah.
Tennis. For some reason, I was thinking about golf. I don't know what I was... Sorry. okay. I get it now. Yes. Got it.
So like I said, tennis, you know, t-shirt designs are not foreign to me. So when I see all these people who are great artists, and some of them actually are freelance designers, freaking out over a t-shirt, it was kind of a little strange to me. It's like really? I thought because I guess more designers nowadays are more, you know, semi, you know, are more specialized than multifaceted like you used to back in the day.
Yeah, and being someone who draws comics is definitely not the same skill set as being someone that designs products necessarily.
Yeah.
Well, that's true, but there were a couple of freelancers there too, people who rely on freelance money just to do whatever is required. So I thought that there'd be a little bit more.
There was a problem kind of ongoing with several challenges, which is like it starts with the t-shirt one where I forget who it was, but it was basically like sort of like blocked minimalist color strip search just like that, and then he went back and added like little like buildings and such.
Oh yeah,
and
that
like,
was Tavis's.
I mean, that would have been a great shirt before all that. And then it's like that was like a problem that was kept on going on. It's like, all right, they had something, then they wouldn't just stop and just let it go. They felt, oh, I have to do more, and then it gets too much.
That's like anytime when you take a multiple choice test and they tell you, you know, stick with your first answer, don't go back and change it because the first one was more likely to be right.
Well, I actually was trained by someone who used to draw comic books in the 70s, and he told me, Ben, there is a point on your comic page that's good enough, because he says you could keep on editing it, making it better, but you'll never reach a deadline. Brian Hitch. And you have to just draw it and be ready, done with it, and just turn it in and get to the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how you get good reputations in any kind of comic industry, is by being good and reaching deadlines. Because you can be as good as you want, but if you don't reach deadlines, no one's going to rely on you.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they all did reach the deadline in the case of this strip.
Right,
in the case of this challenge.
But like I said, there is a point called good enough with comics.
Yeah.
And you have to just stop and say, okay, good enough. Let it go. Let it go to press. You're done.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, part of the thing is I actually thought that Katie's t-shirt design, if it was refined a little bit more, would have like knocked the rest out. But because she had the best idea,
she decided not to use the colors.
But she had the best idea, I think.
Perhaps. I mean, that's all a matter of taste. I really did like the one that won, even though it turns out that when you wear it as on a girl's shirt, there's a boob grabbing problem.
Yeah. Well, I was noticing that too, because it seems like you'll have to, number one, use like oversized screens on that design anyways, you know? And that's a,
yeah, for any sort of wraparound like that, that's not,
yeah, there's oversized screens and multiple oversized screens because all those hands come from the bottom corner, so that, you know, the cost instantly goes up quite a bit. I'm guessing,
right,
for this promotional piece that doesn't matter too much, but if I ever design a t-shirt, I always think about that because I know what goes on with that process. Right. I know you have to.
Well, the final design actually did not have the wraparound. I think it's interesting to say.
Well, like they did talk about that. They did talk about that. It's like it probably would take out the back, is what they said. So, and that's the thing. And just even just from the artist standpoint, it's like, yeah, there were several that I wouldn't wear on a t-shirt so much. Like the one where you had the frantic artist working on strips and then throwing them about. I really liked that one, but it was probably more of a poster-esque thing than a t-shirt, but I still could see it working as a t-shirt, albeit a little bit wide. But that was the thing. There's a lot of, sometimes, because here's the thing with me and t-shirts, and anyone who's listened to the show for a while already kind of knows my stance. I have plenty of shirts already. I don't, and shirts are expensive. I'm going to drop $20 on a t-shirt. It better be a damn good t-shirt that I must have. A lot of times, sometimes I like, that'd be good. Maybe if I had like an 8x11 print of it, I'd throw a few bucks out, but I don't like it enough to have another t-shirt filling up my closet. I have more clothes. I have more shirts than my girlfriend. So
sorry, man. Sorry.
That's, see, I only buy Egyptian cotton shirts, so I don't have to worry about this.
And on that note, we're going to take our first break and we'll be right back.
This program is part of the Webcast Beacon Network at webcastbeacon.com. You can find and follow us on Tumblr, Facebook, Google+, and Twitter. Just search for Webcast Beacon. Have thoughts or questions on an episode? You can leave us a voicemail at 1-320-310-0922 or email us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. The Webcast Beacon Network. Covering and promoting creativity in the creative process since 2007. Comics, art, and writing discussions, interviews, news, and reviews at webcastbeacon.com. Now, back to our show.
Egyptian cotton has a higher thread count.
No, like, wait, are we going to commercials right now?
I'll throw in like a minute thing that I always throw in to each episode in between before and now. Which is basically saying, you're listening to the Webcomic Beacon, and you can email us at this, and you can comment at this, or RSS, and...
Just in case people came in the middle.
Well, no, so it's something that I... it's something I don't have to remember to say each time, and I can just throw that little bit in.
So someone can go to the bathroom while waiting for the next part.
Like, shit, what was I listening to? Oh, no.
Well, okay, it's like the podcast is on Stitcher.com. And part of being on Stitcher.com, they say you need to have a notice in your show saying you can listen to the show on Stitcher. So that's in there, and that's where I'll stick it to. And the break is also an opportunity. If I ever sold advertisements for the podcast again, it would go next to the break.
And I'll just go to the bathroom during it.
Yeah, or you could also just skip it, I guess.
I will build a podcast ad skipper.
All right, if you can manage to get up from your chair, go to the bathroom, do your stuff, and come back within 60 seconds, all power to you, I suppose.
But, number one is easy.
Yeah, you get that shit done. Got and, places to be.
Yeah, all right. Moving on, we have... So we're at the first elimination. We already kind of talked about that. I did want to go back to the double elimination because I was thinking at elimination number three, which is the one where they had a tough time to figure out who they wanted to, who they had to send home, because they clearly didn't want to send either one of them home. And by the fourth elimination, they were like, you know what? It seemed like, you know, it's screw what we thought originally, how we were going to do this. We don't really want these two people here. We should go back and bring, was it Lexi?
Yeah. Granted, that's not like it's a reality show trope that hasn't been done plenty of times before.
Oh, I've barely watched any of that, so I wouldn't know, I suppose.
Yeah, it's, I would say it's a reasonably established trope of reality shows.
Really?
But, yeah, I mean, it's tough because, especially because, you know, you start caring about these people, so it sucks to be the guys who were in the double elimination.
That was really, like, whoa, geez, wow. That's harsh, especially when they take their art that's printed out from a digital file, granted, and then just throw it in a grinder. It's like,
yeah, that was a funny thing to me, is that he got so hung up about destroying Lexi's, but it is just a printout. Like, I thought it was kind of cute that he was so hung up about it.
And here's the one thing I was really liking about this whole experience, just watching it, because it was like, like I said, I didn't really have time to, because I do video and audio editing. I can't really do much else. Can't even listen to it while I'm working because it interferes. But it's like, I'm like watching this. It's like, I would love a home game of this, you know, just like take it to
home,
like,
game.
Yeah. Like you take it to like the whole setup and the outline, and you do the challenges with like local friends.
Actually, I am setting up right now. I am setting up with several artists that I know. We are going to be doing a fax game, a fax machine sketchathon.
What? Explain.
Fax machine was the first challenge.
Yeah, it's that game where you draw different things.
Oh, that. Okay, here I was thinking you're going to send art back to each other by fax. Okay, all right, I'm on it. I'm on. So, yeah, I did kind of like that, and I've never actually done that before. I mean, I've done where you got people together to, I forgot what they call it, when you basically have a whole bunch of people, somebody draws one panel and then and somebody else draws another panel that follows that, and so on and so forth, only it's shuffled pages. It's like a group created sort of
right
mashed together comic. I've been a part of that before, but I did kind of like this, and that's what I was saying. It's like, it'd be fun to like get together with like local artists and do a lot of these challenges together. I was really, really wanting to get involved in sort of stuff like that.
Did you see when they were encouraging people to try doing it at home?
I'm not sure if I actually saw that. I've just been watching the episode, so I'm not sure if there was. I haven't seen any extras or any news posts. So
yeah, they started doing blog posts where it's like hashtag #ElimComic. Pause the show when you see what the two categories are, and then try doing your own version of it.
Very cool.
Which I thought was cool. And also, everyone who'd been eliminated after the first, I think it was the first five or six eliminees, me and them, we did a YouTube stream where we all did one together. And I'd like to see more of that. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's I was like thinking, it's like, I would love to be a part of this, but I was like, absolutely no, I could not compete on any level like that. I'm not ready. And that's the thing. It got me a lot more excited to because I haven't really drawn a whole lot for various reasons. Like it was like, man, I really want to get back into doing art again. And so I think that was very helpful. I'm actually trying to come up with some sort of like challenge for myself and others that are interested to try to actually make yourself draw something, at least something every day. Because I think that's the biggest problem that a lot of artists would have, and it's been brought up frequently on the show and by other people in the industry, is like, draw every day. And they do, that's true. You got to draw every day if you want to keep that your fingers nimble and your creative spark flowing enough, I guess. So
and that's why I really like. Oh, go on.
And I do try to draw every day, and I think everyone should be encouraged to draw every day. I think it's just part of it is finding the best natural tool to help you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes carrying around a sketchbook is just not practical. But if I may, I have to say that one of my favorite moments of the first half has to be the interview.
Oh, yeah. I would have liked to see more of those. I would have liked to see the whole interview for each person.
I'm hoping extra content on the DVD or something.
Like Erica's interview. Oh my God, she just wouldn't stop.
Butt virginity.
We opened up a can of butt worms.
it's like okay, I got the idea. Okay, stop. Okay, well, she keeps on saying she wants to stop, but she can't. It's like
fuck it. I'm already there. Go for it. I think if I were like doing the interview like that, I think I would probably be doing a lot of what Erica was doing, just babbling about anything and everything that. Well, yeah, and it was really nice to see that. Somebody actually say, I'm not comfortable with talking about that, because a lot of people do forget. You can say no.
Yeah, I'm amazed that she's the only one who did, though it becomes very interesting when you see the first time she goes to the arena. That's for later.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like to think that like she wouldn't be able to ask any questions that would get to me, but maybe there's like some button I'm not aware of that she could manage to hit, and I'd be like, rah!
But there's like, I think I could handle everything. As far as like an interview process, like that, if I were to be actually on a show like this, I would have to probably go by my actual real legal name, though technically my name right now is a legal artist name. It's registered and everything. So technically
your legal name, you're wanted in several states is the problem.
Well, no, I've just been so paranoid ever since I've been online. I've been Fessworks. That's who I am completely. My real name is everything that's family and old friends. Nobody I know now calls me by my real first name. I'm Fess to everybody I meet. Because it's complicated. But it's like I'm pretty sure she would bring up that, and I'd have to try to manage myself and not go into overly complex answer and things like that. And then I was also curious about how she was actually somehow pulling up personal stuff pretty well.
Yeah, she definitely did her research.
Yeah, so she would probably ask about my brother, which would be something that I'd have to already know going in and figure out how I'd prepare the answer, because you can't just not answer that to a point, because it's going to come up. That's why I usually bring it up at some point early on with somebody, because of how much I actually talk about my brother, because, you know, it was a big deal for like a long time, because, you know, we had lived together forever. So he was constantly a part of my life. So it's a really good, the interview thing is something that I think was like a lot of good things for people to think about. And this kind of goes into one of my favorite ones was when Scott Kurtz comes on, where he's talking about how to deal with trolls, which is really...
He doesn't deal with them right. Don't listen to him.
No, he admitted at the same time,
while Lexi was arguing about the correct way to deal with it, she was simultaneously not dealing with it correctly.
Right.
That's what killed me.
Oh, yeah, it was, like, so bad. It's like, no, he's actually right. You don't invite that, because otherwise that keeps happening, and it just weighs you down.
No, I have a feeling that's the kind of thing that she will feel a little differently about once she starts her comic.
And when she starts inviting that people to email her, and she will not get work done. And she'll have a change of thought, I think.
Well, biggest thing is always do these things with a humble spirit, and 99% of the people won't bother you. That's been my experience, and that's something I've always hold to. If you have a humble spirit, people don't attack.
You'll always get some, though.
But you'll always get some. But like I said, if you just respond with kindness, you disarm most of them, except for the people who just want to needle you. And those people that's what blocking lists and ignore and all that stuff's for.
Yeah, that was the problem with the way that conversation went, though, is they made it like either you respond snarkily to them or you respond with like, I'm going to do exactly what you say, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, there's a little more options than that.
I was quite pleased with some of the answers. I was like, I never would have thought of it that way. That's kind of like, I'll put that in my little satchel and remember that for later.
Nick was like, don't worry, it's gonna be like, you're gonna be excited with what you see next. It's like, oh, that's very smart.
Yeah, that's also a thing sometimes, and you may not like parts of a storyline, but you have to also understand that sometimes it's part of the development or story, and there may be a repercussion later, if not immediately. I mean, that doesn't actually happen all the time, but it can certainly be a tool in storytelling.
I think you're getting too deep in the nitty-gritty of it.
Well, that was just one little comment. It was...
Well, that's the thing. You never argue nitty-gritties with a troll, because if you do, you're already in the mud fight, and they're winning, because they forced you into the mud fight.
I think I've been fortunate not to have to deal with a whole lot of trolls. I mean, except you, but then I ended up... Except, no, well... Oh, yeah, that episode. But that wasn't, like, trolls to me so much as me having a problem with everybody on something awful. Most everybody.
But you are the only person I ever knew that actually decided to wage war, even partially, against something awful. Uh-oh. My God, Fest.
Is this a dangerous podcast to be on?
No, it's
yes,
not.
Yes, bail out here now.
No. It's me with foot and mouth disease sometimes. But no, the thing with something awful is they were arguing this one way, which I wasn't entirely agreeing with, and they were like saying that my way was absolutely wrong. I'm not saying their way is wrong either, but I was mostly arguing...
It's something awful!
I was arguing that my way is just as legitimate, if that's what you want to do,
Have you argued with 4chan yet?
No.
Is this what's happening
now? To be fair, I warned people not to even listen to the episode. And I did make fun of myself by saying I was a whiny baby. It's like I'm not saying I'm absolutely right in this. And I also learned, is like, you know what? I really should stop and not go there anymore, because that was they were pissing me off more so. And I was like trying not to be an asshole to them. Really? It's like, you can't.
It's something awful. By even going there and doing that, you're letting them win.
Well,
and you don't seem to understand that still.
Well, I will be fair. There were plenty of great artists that were at Something Awful, and many of them did have things that were very intelligent to say. And the thing with the person that does Tiny Kitten Teeth went there, learned a whole lot more, and they've been very successful since then. And it's like some people can get in and they can be very helpful once you, I don't know, break that barrier, I suppose. I mean, it's like, I'm not going to completely discount Something Awful. It's a rough house, certainly, but there's something to the group that hangs around there and the people that are involved. I'm not going to entirely discredit or discount them, is my point.
Plus, that one guy on the forums has been translating Danganronpa, and it's very important to me.
Anyways, back to strip search.
Yes, please.
Like I said, I am enjoying it, and I am enjoying the how some of these challenges actually have something to do with comicking. And also what I enjoy is the fact that you can draw traditionally if you so choose. It's not all, you know, Cintiqs and stuff, but they do offer both a Cintiq option and let you draw traditionally in the eliminations. And I do enjoy seeing that they allow you to do that.
Actually, I wasn't sure about that. I wasn't sure if that was like stuff that the Penny Arcade or that Strip Search provided, or if you were to bring your own materials.
Strip Search provided it. Basically, they asked all the artists ahead of time, what do you work on? And then they tried to give you the closest to that. And I find it interesting that only one person chose traditional media.
And we're talking about Katie, right?
No, we're talking about Abby.
I haven't seen Abby at an elimination round yet, so that must
true.
Be later.
A lot of people did a little bit of like pre-work on paper or whatnot, you know, just kind of to sketch out ideas. But Abby's the only person who completely does her finished project traditionally.
I wonder if they have a scanner for you to use, because I would have to, I do a partial for both. I'd have to sketch and ink. I sketch and ink with real media, and then I scan it in and do cleanup, coloring, and lettering is what I do.
I do everything on my tablet now, so.
Yeah, I know what you do.
Yeah, embrace the future, son.
I can't do it yet. I'm not there.
It's the best.
The Surface Pro is the best drawing tablet I've ever used.
Yes, we'll have that on the episode later. Later this month, I will likely have that episode come out. So people can look forward to the tablet episode where we talk to a lot of people about the different types of screen tablets that they use. Really good episode. Might be two episodes if it's way too long, but we'll see. Back to Strip Search, though. I was impressed with some of the prizes that they gave out.
Like a HD Cintiq?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus, yeah.
Is it, was it the big one or the biggest one
they have?
Yeah, it's the nice three one.
It's the three grand one.
Probably. Something like that. It's HD, so it's
the one where it tells you on the directions you have to lift it with two people. No, it does.
Really?
No, I don't doubt it.
You know, it actually says get a second person and help you lift this onto your table.
Wow.
Kitty Hawk told me this when she got hers. It was like on a pallet and she had to carry it upstairs with a delivery guy, and the box was big enough to fit her completely in it.
Wow.
That's weird.
She's kind of a small girl, isn't she?
No, she's like 5'9".
Really?
I'm trying to think, because, I mean, they're big, but they're still only, it's like a big monitor. It's not that crazy.
Well, I'm sure that's a lot of, like, packing material, too.
And there's also, there's also the mount there with the arm strong enough to hold it, you know?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
But overall, like I said, they did, that really surprised me that they actually gave away a Cintiq, but Wacom is one of their sponsors.
That's probably why. I mean, it's like Wacom's going to look at this like, well, there's no way that we're not going to get involved in this.
Yeah. I mean, you're watching people just drawing these things on their tablet. Mm-hmm. I think it's a pretty good idea for them.
It's like with Hell's Kitchen, where they say, we gave you a new set of Henkel's knives.
Right. The best knife brand that you'll ever find.
Well, Henkel's actually is, because it is hand-forged carbon steel with a nice full tang design. And
here's the thing. I had this discount coupon. Amazing prices.
I'm just telling you that I actually used to be a blacksmith, too, so I know a little bit about knives. So I'm like a multi-talented...
No, I know about my knives as a serial killer, so... We have some crossover there.
Ben, did you work at Renfest? Is that where you were?
No, I worked in a cutlery store. And I was also a blacksmith.
Okay. In Texas,
you can become a blacksmith. All you do is just find a blacksmith and say, hey, I'd like to apprentice with you for a while. There's lots of people that need horses shoed.
I suppose. I guess, yeah, we don't have a whole lot of horses up here in Minnesota, so.
We don't have a lot of horses here in my part of Texas, so.
Well, Fess was really the only guy in Texas that wore a Stetson when he showed up here.
No, that's not true. When the first rest area I pulled in, somebody else had the same hat I had on. But here's the thing: when I went on my Colorado trip,
did you really wear a special hat to go to Texas?
He wore a Stetson.
I stopped in Wyoming and I picked up some Western shirts. It's like, you know, I said, fuck it. I'm going to be a goddamn tourist, okay? I don't fucking care. I'm going to enjoy my... This is like my first real vacation in a decade. And I was going to just fucking go for it. I will look
like... So you rolled up and you said, howdy, potness.
I didn't do that. I didn't want to be an asshole.
As you cinch up your waist.
I have a picture.
I wouldn't do that in Red Texas, no.
I have a picture. Do you want the picture?
Actually, Ben, it was suggested to me that I get into my fake cowboy outfit and in front of green screen, do something stupid and put it up in high quality so people can just have at it and insert me into whatever the hell.
Okay, Marty.
It was suggested. It was like, you know, that's really a good idea. I'm going to be a fool, but you know what? It could be hilarious, but whatever. Fake cowboy fest partying.
That's a lot like strip search.
Do you see the picture watermelon?
Yes.
What do you think? Watermelon.
Pretty good.
Yes.
Oh yeah, that was Chris Jeffy. I think that was where the ketchup bottle was, and you cut me out. Who does Cartridge Comics? I think it was.
Yes. The story behind the burger was we were doing a panel and Fess had a burger delivered to him and he did not pause the panel or go sit to the side. No, he was eating the burger during the panel and in the audio you could hear gulp, 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 gulp.
It wasn't that bad.
We've heard complaints, Fess.
I'm sorry. I was starving. I had driven all the way from Minnesota. And I didn't get any sleep either. I couldn't take a nap in my car because it was triple digits. Holy crap. I didn't want to die in my car in Texas.
Welcome to the South, son.
Mm.
But there's the picture of Fess wearing the Stetson.
Beautiful.
Yes. If that's the word.
Hey, I think it's a great costume.
Okay, or Marty.
Costume of a tourist, yes. Exactly.
I think it's a great costume. It's hilarious. I love it. So a strip shirt. Why are you guys talking about me so much? Or is it me? Okay. So anyway, on a tangential note, I saw live action Popeye the other day.
The Robin Williams one?
Yes.
Okay.
That's all I got. Oh my god. It's terrible.
But it's a surprise.
I mean, it's the mom from The Shining is olive oil. What do you want me to say? It's a movie.
I'm not going anywhere with that. Anyway, the one thing I kind of wish I knew a little bit more about the strip search. I guess I was wanting a little bit more drawing happening. And the first half of the series, there's not a whole lot of like direct drawing competitions as much, or there's not enough. I'm not seeing much of just because the episodes are only like 15 to 20 to 30 minutes, maybe at least in the first half. And, you know, cause thinking about any other reality or competition show, it's like an hour. So there's like maybe 40, 45 minutes of actual content, including the next, when we come back after the break and last time and including all that crap. But, so there wasn't a whole lot of camera on more of the interaction of all the artists, because I figured you hear them talking more about tips and stuff. I mean, you hear a little bit of like in like the little like side interviews that they do that happened. But it's like me as an artist, I kind of would have liked to see a little bit more of that interaction. What are you guys?
No, yeah, and like you, the production crew has come out and said like we've learned a lot about like we've been very surprised with what things people are interested in seeing. Mm. Like we were worried people would be bored just to watch people sit there and draw, but it turns out it's really interesting.
well, actually, it's interesting to me that that they're still doing reality show elimination tropes, but at the same time they're not doing a. Because the first thing I noticed was they had all the cardboard cutouts of the drawings that people did of themselves. And I was thinking, oh, great. Whenever someone's eliminated, they'll just put that in the wood chipper. But that's not what they did. They just sort of left those alone. It's because every show that does an elimination kind of thing does something like that. Like here's your picture on a plate. And when you're kicked out, we smash the plate or.
Yeah, I kind of like that. It's almost like they're still here in spirit. Like we don't want to pretend they're all dead now or something.
Yeah,
they're dead to us. But it doesn't work. But
that's what every reality show does, though. They always do that. They always do the whole symbolic elimination. And the worst they do is they just fuck with your drawing.
What I would like to see is less eliminations that are. You know, like for I do like Face Off and Strip Search and how the overall thus far the eliminations are handled. It's almost entirely based on talent. Though with Strip Search, it's a little bit more iffy because it's like of the type of challenges that they do right before the eliminations are picked. But they still have like a retribution cycle. With Penny Arcade guys to get back in the game. I do like that aspect.
Well, there's certain things I don't quite like here. It's this really is geared towards slice of life strip style webcomics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is strip.
It's called Strip Search, not Long Form Search.
Fess, let me continue.
Okay.
The point is. I do story-based comic-style webcomics, mm-hmm. and so do lots of people I know. Yeah. And this kind of competition, it seems like if someone that's into a more long-style comic goes on here, that they will be eliminated pretty early because the elimination challenge is entirely based off of what what the likes are of the Penny Arcade guys, and they gravitate towards strip style gag a day comics, and that's the one thing that I noticed is they're saying, well, this one at least has a joke on it, and it's like, and like I said, it would be interesting to see if they do this another season, if they get someone like me or Neil or someone like that does a story based long form comic on there as like the black horse, you know, underdog, and see how that goes.
I think that's a fair point.
And like I said, I think it'll be interesting, but at the same time, I sort of know how that's going to go because I hear these comments like, at least this one has a joke in it during when they were evaluating an elimination.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I see a definite bias towards the gag a day
mm-hmm.
format here.
Yeah. But again, it is Strip Search, at least this season.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what they're going for. I mean, it'd probably be too, especially for their first season, their first run, to try to do some all encompassing wide variety of art. I think you'd have a problem with, you can't make a good, I mean, if you pare it down into, okay, this type of cartooning, I think the whole thing is a lot easier and less complicated to run overall. So, I mean, if they would do something, I think it would have to be a whole season with people that are more so doing long form would be, I would think the focus should be overall that, not sort of pepper it, because it, unless they can really work out the kinks to how to meld something like that together.
Yeah, because it's like, how do you have like, okay, 90 minutes, one of you draws a story and the other one draws a strip, and then we'll compare the two.
Yeah.
Like, you can't really do that.
Well, I've done more work in less time.
All right, well, let's take a look at it.
Yeah, next time you apply and see if you get through the eliminations.
I need to really get back my artist legs because I've been out of practice for so long. That's partly why I'm drawing again. But like I said, I really do think that next season they have to have like someone that does that represents that kind of web mm-hmm. comicking on there as like a dark horse and just go for it because mm-hmm.
well,
I think
I would say Lexi actually does represent that kind of webcomicking as well as Mac, who was part of the double elimination.
Mm.
I mean, they're both long form storytellers more than strip cartoonists.
Wasn't one more of an illustrator though, or at least just like art?
Yeah,
commissions?
No. Lexi is an illustrator who aspires to be a long form cartoonist.
Mm.
Well.
Ah.
I really do think that it's an area that should be explored more. And I like I said, the fact that you do see that there is that bias there is pretty obvious to
me. But I don't think a lot, most of us went in thinking it would be anything other than short form or strip form, since it's called Strip Search and it's run by the Penny Arcade guys. But
they do story-based stuff all the time.
They do story-based stuff occasionally, but their focus is obviously strip stuff. That's their bit. I mean,
but they keep on going back to it, like the story of the android detective and.
You see, this is how much I don't read Penny Arcade. I guess I don't know most of that.
No, but like that's why I feel like they definitely appreciate long form, and I could see them doing another season that is about long form.
Yeah,
I just think that mixing the two gets very complicated pretty quickly.
It'd be interesting to see what they can do to branch out next year. I agree. It should be something they should try to incorporate. One thing I would like to see not happen with any reality or competition show that's like this. There should be no first elimination. Let them stay a freaking day in the house.
I like the first elimination because it puts you on your toes immediately versus
I hate that. It's like, dude, just that is so cruel. Just let them stay like a day. Come on now. Just whatever. I think that's the cruelest thing because
you don't get too comfortable, you're there and being there doesn't guarantee you get to hang out with everyone just yet. It puts you on edge. It makes you ready to compete because yes, you get to make new friends. You get to network a little bit, but at the same time, you have to be ready to go for it.
Hmm.
And you got to remember, I think they went into this planning to be more cruel and general reality showish than they ended up being once they started kind of meeting these kids.
Because obviously there was no booby traps.
No, there's I mean, there was one, and they still have a couple episodes left to maybe we might see it.
Yes, I don't know. Yes, they built a booby trap into the house.
I'm holding out. I'm holding.
The booby trap is just that the pineapples will drive you crazy. It's a psychological booby trap.
I thought it was a trap door. Anyway, so that's more or less the first season, and I've been really digging it. And I just started watching today. I haven't had time, but I'll invite Mary back, and hopefully we'll get a couple other people on again to talk about it, the second half and the end of Strip Search, in maybe a couple of weeks. We'll see. And before we go ahead and close this out, was there anything from the first half up to Elimination 5 that you guys wanted to talk about?
I pretty much said my piece so far.
Here's a question.
I will say that the second half does have a great moment with I'm not going to mention more of it, but there was a great moment where one of the challenges is going through a contract, which I thought was very important and very hilarious.
Cool. Yeah, it was pretty great.
What were you going to say, Mary?
Oh, I was going to say, based on the first day, who was the person that you were rooting for at first?
Oh, because I only knew Erica and she's been on the podcast before, I guess Erica, because she's the only one I knew.
Right. That makes sense.
I think I might've heard of one or two of the other ones, but I couldn't know for sure. I think actually, Melissa knows of Mackie. But other than that, it's kind of hard to pick people when you know at least one of 12 of them and you're like, I know them, go them, you know?
Yeah.
What about you guys?
I gotta be honest. It's I sort of was rooting for Katie pretty early on because she was, you know, so not sure of herself. But when the chips were down, she delivered the goods.
Oh yeah, and she's a professional. She knows what to do. I think the first person I was really drawn to was Amy. I was sad to see her go.
Spoilers.
What? That was during the. We've just been talking about all these eliminations.
Was that Elimination 5?
Yes.
All right. Oh. Well, I didn't see it yet, but yes, that was fair game, I said. So, damn it. All right. Okay.
Whoops.
No, that's fine. So, so that's all we have. Do you want to thank Ben Carver from Animation Aficionados for coming back to the show?
Thank you.
And Mary Cagle from Kiwi Blitz. Thank you very much for coming on last minute.
Thank you.
And I've been Fess, and this has been Webcomic Beacon at webcomicbeacon.com.
Okay, which animes do you like and know and are willing to talk about? So I
my favorite is something called, have you heard about Madoka Magica?
Oh, God.
Wait, have you watched it?
Oh, God.
Have you watched it?
That's the answer, yes.
Wait, so you're saying you hated it? It was a great subversion.
I've seen it. I understand it, but I'm not much one for mindfuck animes.
It wasn't even a mindfuck, though. It was very straightforward.
Fight! 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 Fight!
No, it's okay.
Will fight if you're going to be that much of a jerk about it.
I'm not being a jerk. Jeez.
Your immediate response to me liking the show was
no. You're allowed to like it. It's I never said you weren't allowed to like it or you're bad to like it. I never said that.
Well, I also like Attack on Titan. I don't know if you heard about that one. That's a current one.
What, Titan?
Yeah, it's about people fighting giant zombies.
Oh. No, it's but one thing though is we're having a lot of hard time getting guests for a fairy tale episode.
Wait, fairy tales in animation?
Yeah.
Like any particular shows or anything?
No, fairy tale, the anime.
Oh, the show. No, I haven't watched that one. It seems to be pretty generic shonen stuff.
Oh, I love it.
But I've heard it's pretty good. Oh, you love it?
Fight!
We have people disagree with us show up all the time.
Well, I'm glad we have reasonable discussion about it.
Well, we always have reasonable discussions until Fest shows up. But anyways, check us out, animationaficionados.com. We have lots of episodes in there, and we did a Magic Knight Ray Earth episode, which was fantastic a couple weeks ago. What?
Oh well, it just the animation style did not hold up super well.
What, Magic Knight Ray Earth? Yeah, we like to rag on Filmation because Filmation's shit, but
what is this Sailor Moon picture?
That's from the Toonmakers Sailor Moon pilot that was never aired.
Oh right.
Where one of them is in a wheelchair that flies that shoots laser beams.
I'm amazed there's this.
That sounds awesome.
High res of an art of it, or I guess maybe someone traced.
Oh, actually, on eBay, someone was selling cells, animation cells of it.
Oops, it's unfortunate.
Not really. It's a Neil wants to get the whole pilot eventually, but it's hard to find. No one is willing to say that they have it, but it right. exists. There is a
it's
whole
out there
pilot
somewhere. It is my quest.
Yeah, it's like the day the clown cried. It exists out there somewhere. You do know about the day the clown cried, right?
No.
It's Jerry Lewis made a movie in the 70s called The Day the Clown Cried that will never be released. It's completely finished. It just will never be released. Huh. It's a movie where Jerry Lewis plays a German clown during World War II that is hired by the Nazis to lead the Jewish children into the showers. Like the Pied Piper.
Oh, that is terrible.
Wow, that's pretty bad.
I wouldn't release it either.
Jerry still wants to release it because he's like, with a movie like this, the Academy can't ignore it.
Oh, God.
It's good to know.
Jesus fucking Christ.
This is a real movie.
I believe you. It's a dark world that we live in.
Oh, boy.
It's yeah, The Day the Clown Cried. It's a good story to tell because maybe people disbelieve it, but it's a real movie. It's there.
All right. I gotta go.
Me too. So thank you once again. I'll try to contact you both again for when we do the second recording, and hopefully it all will work out. But I'll email you too. This episode should be up sometime this week.
Excellent.
Okay. All right. Talk to you guys later.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.